nothing that's grim,
nothing that's Greek.
She plays Medea later this week.
Stunning surprises, cunning disguises, hundreds of actors out of sight.
Pantaloons and tunics, courtesans and eunuchs.
Good morning, everybody. It's Saturday, October 14th, and you're listening to Backstage here on WZBG. I'm Eric, your host. Thrilled to be with you here this morning because it's an exciting morning. I've got guests in the studio, and we've got theater to talk about, and I'm hitting my microphone. I'm so excited. So there you go. It's going to be a great show. This morning, I am joined by representatives from Phoenix Stage Company because we are here to talk about the show called The Memory Box. Let me try that again in English. The Memory Box. There we go. I'm joined this morning by director Deb Cryan.
Hello.
And by actor Chris Gerton.
Hello.
Who are here to tell us all about this show. It's is this a new production? Am I remembering that correctly?
It is. It's a new work written by Laura King.
New work by Laura King. It's called The Memory Box. It opened last night, so Deb and Chris have been kind enough to drag themselves in here after what I'm sure was a very exciting opening night experience, and to share their insights, their knowledge about this show with all of you out there in WZBG land. So welcome to you both. It's a thrill to have you here. Deb, this is your first time here on Backstage.
It is, yeah.
So welcome, welcome, welcome. And Chris, you're back on Backstage. Was the last time you were here for It's Only a Play?
It was, yes.
Yes, which was over at the Thomaston Opera House, and loved that show. That was, I think my lovely and talented girlfriend Lynn and I were able to see a rehearsal of that.
Yes.
And just so fun. Much energy in that cast, and then we saw you in Beauty and the Beast not that long ago. And
Deb was our stage manager for It's Only a Play also.
There you go.
And so Chris built the set?
No, my father and I, but
well,
yes.
Yeah.
The great Lou Gerton.
Yes.
It's becoming a Gerton family business, this theater thing.
It kind of is.
Because we just talked off the air that your son is in the Thomaston Christmas show.
Yes.
Or the holiday show,
kid,
I should say.
The kids program.
Best Christmas pageant ever.
It sure is now.
Yeah, I know.
Now that there's a Gerton involved, it's going to be. It was touch and go before. But a lot of great theater going on. So, Deb, why don't we start with you just a little bit. Can you give us a little background on how you got sucked into this crazy theatrical world?
Sure. So we, my husband and I, moved to Connecticut back in 2011. I'm originally from Boston.
Okay.
Then moved to Florida for a while. We met there, got married. He went to work for GE. They transferred him up here. Mm-hmm. And I worked from home. I worked for an agency, an advertising agency out of Florida. And after about 2 years of that, I'm like, oh, my God, I'm going crazy. I need to see some people. So I joined the Naugatuck Women's Club.
Okay.
And at one of our luncheons, Ed Bassett from Phoenix Stage Company. Yeah. Actually came and did a little like skit with a couple of other people from Phoenix and Lori Poulin and Nancy Dodge.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought, oh, wow, that was really fun. And he was handing out pamphlets like, you know, we need volunteers. And that's when they were in Naugatuck.
Oh, yes.
Down on Rubber
yes.
Avenue. Yeah. So I emailed him one day and I'm like, oh, I need something to do. I gotta, you know. So, and that's how it started. I started off ushering there and then, you know, worked concessions. And then one day he's like, yeah, I need you backstage. I'm like, I don't know what that means. And he's like, just come on. So I went back there and he's like, here's what's going to happen. You know, and he gave me the lay of the land and like a script. And he's like, here's the show. And just take some notes. I'm like, oh, all right, I will. So, and that's basically, I've always been on the production end.
Mm-hmm.
Right, so either crewing, deck captain, stage managing, whatever. So yeah. Now directing. Yeah.
And directing a new work, which is very exciting
yeah.
because you get to put your stamp from here on out. The Deb Cryan production is the standard.
Yeah. That's probably okay, yeah.
I like it.
All right, good. Yeah.
It's the only one I know.
Yeah.
And I'm sure audiences last night enjoyed it and will be enjoying it as the production runs. It's running now through
The 22nd.
The 22nd. Thank you. Running now through the 22nd over at the beautiful Phoenix Stage Company facility in scenic Oakville, Connecticut.
Mm-hmm.
And it's Fridays and Saturdays at 8 and then Sunday matinee at
3.
3. Some plays are 2, some plays are 3. Phoenix, 3 o'clock. And you can go to phoenixstagecompany.org to get your tickets, or you can call the box office at 860-417-2505. That's 860-417-2505. Ed, that one is for you. So let's talk about the show, okay? So we know a little bit about Deb. We know a bit about Chris already from his tour de force performances and a variety of shows in the area. Love, Sex, and the IRS.
Mm-hmm.
It's Only a Play. And Beauty and the Beast.
Right.
And now, The Memory Box. Yes. Did I miss anything?
Not really.
No, I think that's all.
There
all
we
right.
go. And it's not the longest acting resume, but it's a powerful acting resume.
Wow.
But you've been backstage and behind the scenes on things and helping out with...
I do a lot of set build stuff mostly. I kind of started doing that at the same time. That's what I thought I was going to do. And then they were like, hey, no, actually, come out here on this show.
Yeah.
And now I'm addicted to that.
All we need you to do is stand over here and say a couple things, and you'll be fine. Right?
That's always how it starts.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Watch out, Deb.
I've been a camel.
See?
And a unicorn.
I was a factory worker in Kinky Boots, and now look at me.
And I saw Kinky Boots. So I have seen everything I've done.
You have seen it.
And
Praise.
And
Praise, yeah. He was in Praise.
Oh, okay.
And that's an important role.
That is.
I did not catch Praise. There we go. Ruined the streak.
Oh.
Rats. But yeah, that's how they get you, Deb. You know, you start, be a camel, be a unicorn, whatever, and next thing you know, you're...
I'm good with the silent parts. I'm good.
You didn't make any like camel sounds?
No. Just was Agnes Dan from Phoenix Stage Company was the front end of the camel. I was the not front end of the camel.
So you didn't even get to do any of the spitting?
No. No, but I got to kick a couple people.
Oh, there you
go. No, I didn't kick anybody. I'm kidding.
That must have been disappointing.
I was a little disappointed.
Mm. You know. What can you do?
Yeah.
But why don't we talk a bit about The Memory Box? It's a new work. It's by playwright Laura King. Now, Laura King has a connection to Phoenix because she did Cayuga Canal Girls,
which
right?
She wrote also a new work at that time.
Which was also a new
work
that
debuted.
Yeah,
that was right before COVID.
And so it's there's a nice sort of relationship that's been built there, which is fabulous.
Yeah.
Deb, since you're the director, why don't you tell us a bit about what the plot is? Don't give anything away, but what can the audiences, what's the setup they need to understand?
They need to understand that you're going to be watching two timelines in action, a 1940s timeline and a 1980s timeline.
Okay.
Chris is in the 1980s timeline. It's a short story. It's about a family of strong women.
Okay.
And everything they go through, you know, during World War II and then her daughter and then her daughter's daughter and love and loss and...
All the human things.
All the things that make you feel the things.
Oh, yeah.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
You're
going to
feel all the things.
Yeah.
Two act, one act, three
it
act?
It is two acts.
Two acts, okay.
It's not a very long show, about hour 15.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
So we hit it hard and we hit it fast.
Yes, we do.
And you've got a nice... 7 people in your cast I'm seeing on the site here.
Yes.
So you've got Danny Kay as Lydia.
Yes.
Chris obviously playing the role of Mitch. Sarah LaFrance as Sarah.
And she's new to Phoenix Stage Company. This is her first show with Phoenix.
As are Danny and Chris apparently.
Correct.
If I'm seeing this correctly.
Yep.
You've got Helen Adams in the role of were you typecasting people by name? Is that what it was?
No, we just got extremely lucky.
Very suspicious of that.
Yeah. We just got extremely lucky. Now, When we did the staged reading, I was actually seeing people in these roles.
Mm-hmm.
I only have one person who, from the stage reading, is in this show.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Interesting.
Because you know how auditions go.
You know, people come in and you didn't expect that person to show up, or you didn't expect that person to have that kind of talent or what have you. And you've got Teresa Alexander as Fanny, Michael Calabrese as Tinker, and Chris Evans as Curly.
Right, all Phoenix staples.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
You've got a nice mix there of new faces and returning faces. So I won't say the O word, but returning faces.
Yes. Yeah.
And
the funny thing is that all of the people who have been at Phoenix before are all the 1940s people.
Interesting.
And all the people who are new are the 1983 people.
Interesting. 1983.
Yes.
A very good year.
Yes,
excellent
it was.
Year.
I must say.
Yeah.
So fascinating. Okay, so you're jumping back and forth between times. Now, Are there set changes, or is it like one side is one thing, one side's another thing, kind of like City of Angels?
No, we have one set, two okay. platforms. Mm-hmm. Any changes happen on the platforms.
Okay.
And they happen during intermission.
Gotcha.
So it's a pretty set, if you want to say that.
Not a lot of adjustments and things happening.
No, everything happens in the dining room of this home, other than what's happening on the platforms.
Gotcha.
Yeah.
Okay, interesting. Yeah. We're going to have to get more into that, but it's, we've already been talking for like 10 minutes, so we probably deserve a little bit of a break.
Okay.
Just so that we don't wear ourselves out, especially since, Chris, you have a show to do tonight,
yeah,
so don't want to put you behind the eight ball. So
I won't blame you.
Not here, before the performance.
Later.
And blame backstage with Eric, because that's why he's a little raspy tonight. So in picking music for this, just to give us these little breaks here, from the description on the site, I saw that it was about generations of women inside of a family. So I tried to pick songs that have to do with strong women, strong mother-daughter relationships, things like that. And so the first one that I've got up here is from a show called Next to Normal, which some people might be familiar with. This is Alice Ripley from the original cast of Next to Normal singing I Miss the Mountains.
There was a time when I flew higher, was a time the wild girl running free would be me. Now I see her, feel the fire, now I know she needs me there to share. I'm nowhere. All these blank and tranquil years, seems they've dried up all my tears. And while she runs free and fast, seems my wild days are past. But I miss the mountains, I miss the dizzy heights, all the manic magic days and the dark depressing nights. I miss the mountains, I miss the highs and lows, all the climbing, all the falling, all the while the wild wind blows, stinging you with snow and soaking you with rain. I miss the mountains, I miss the pain. Mountains make you crazy, here it's safe and sound. My mind is somewhere hazy, my feet are on the ground. Everything is balanced here and on an even keel. Everything is perfect. Nothing's real. Nothing's real. And I miss the mountains. I miss the lonely climb, wandering through the wilderness and spending all my time where the air is clear and cuts you like a knife. I miss the mountains. I miss the mountains. I miss my life.
And we're back here on Backstage on WZBG. That was Alice Ripley from Next to Normal with I Miss the Mountains. And here this morning on Backstage, we're talking about The Memory Box, which is now playing, well, not right now, but it opened last night over at Phoenix Stage in Oakville, Connecticut. And I'm joined by director Deb Cryan. And I almost said Deb Ryan, but no, the Chris Ryan is in the no, Chris Evans is in the show.
Yes.
I'm all confused between Ryan and Chris and Deb and...
Those are all people.
Sasha and Vanya and Sonia and Spike and... no, director Deb Cryan and actor Chris Gerton from The Memory Box. So, Chris, you came out to be part of The Memory Box.
Yes.
What drew you to this production?
Well, Deb, of course. I loved working with Deb. And I had wanted to... I was very excited to do a drama, and when this came up between being able to work with Deb again, a drama, nice new theater for me at Phoenix, and the fact that it was this new works project where I would get to work with the playwright, mm-hmm. And I, you know, I was very interested in seeing that part of the process. Mm. So, yeah.
Has playwright Laura King been involved in the process, or...
Yeah, she was here. When was she here?
Beginning of October.
Ago. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And she was with us for a couple of days. Tori Richnowsky is our dramaturg. Mm-hmm. So we had a table read, you know, hit all the, hey, would this really have happened back then? Hey, would they have said this? Would they have said that? Laura is amazing in the fact that if an actor says, I'm having a hard time saying this. It just doesn't like blah, 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 roll off my tongue or it's whatever. She's like, okay, let's fix it right then. She'll do a rewrite right then. Mm-hmm. And she's really great about, you know what? Now that I'm seeing you do that, you're right. It probably should be this way instead. And so she's so actor friendly.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And she's just a wonderful person. Just a wonderful
definitely.
Person.
Definitely.
And was it, you know, directing something? I've been talking with a few people about this because the Warner's doing their International Playwrights Festival. Mm-hmm. You know, you get the script, and the script kind of gives you a structure to work in, but it really becomes the director's baby once the script is in the hands of the director. Was there any trepidation on your part, Deb, about putting this up on its feet and with the playwright being nearby and being able to come in?
So with the playwright being able to come in, that was actually a bonus for me.
Okay.
Right? Because I've worked with her before.
Mm-hmm.
So I was familiar with her process.
Mm.
I think the thing that kind of had me off of center a little bit were the two timelines.
Okay.
And how you portray that in a way that people understand
mm-hmm.
that's what's happening.
Mm-hmm.
But... these guys, I mean, they just like they put it in their pocket and that was it. So no, it was it's been a great experience.
And Chris, two timelines, but both of them are at this point basically period pieces. I mean, in 1983 was 40 years ago, which is crushing to say.
Yeah,
on,
no,
on a variety of levels.
It is, thanks,
because you know, but
I was here for that.
Mm-hmm.
But. So how is that, being able to go back into another time, an earlier time, one that you were there
it's
for?
It's amazing. as you said off the air, 1983, wow, what a year. The 80s were the best time ever. If it was the 80s right now, I'd be the coolest person you know.
That's true.
Sadly, it's not. And then the 40s is really great. And it's... especially being able to do both of them, so you have this real time comparison,
mm-hmm.
and that's not a focal point in the show, but it's an observation that you're intended to make.
Sure.
So yeah, it's I love it.
And they happen at the same time,
mm.
which is another thing.
Because it's really like it's three generations that you follow of women from the same family mm-hmm. and the mother-daughter relationship in the same house.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
So that also makes it very easy from a set perspective.
Yes, it really did. That was great.
Now, what about a costuming perspective? Because the 80s, depending on what kind of a look you're going for, the mm-hmm. 80s had some interesting... attire options.
They did, yes.
And then the 40s, you know, we've romanticized, I think, a little bit of what the 40s looked like, but it did have its own stuff. So how was that working? First of all, who'd you work with for costuming?
So Ed Bassett and okay. Agnes Dan did costumes.
Mm-hmm.
Lori Richnavsky did hair,
mm-hmm.
Because we do have Franny has very 40s hair. It was amazing to see people you see every day. It still is amazing to see people you see every day turn into other people,
mm-hmm.
right?
Wow.
Just by costume and hair.
Some of us.
So the 40s people are as they should be, right?
Yeah.
The 80s people, so since I was around in 83, Ed's like, Deb, what do you think about this? I'm like, oh, yeah, we definitely wore that kind of stuff. So like Sarah, who plays Sarah
mm-hmm.
in the show, is very Pat Benatar-ish.
Okay.
80s.
Yeah. All right.
And Chris, who is her dad, is very Don Johnson.
Just went into my closet.
Yeah. He okay. just went into his closet.
Yeah, yeah.
And doesn't like not wearing socks.
Oh,
in
no.
Shoes.
That's terrible. That's that's my suffer-free art moment, is
yeah.
I have to wear loafers with no socks, and
oh.
it's literally the worst thing
awful
ever.
For him.
I'm with you on that
yeah.
one.
I was like, I can't work under these conditions.
I mean, can you get the little, like...
the pads? No.
The no profile?
Oh, no, because that would be even worse.
Yeah.
I'm a give me some substance to my sock kind of person.
Okay.
I like, you know, a nice big crew sock. So that little thing falling down over your heel, I'd have to walk off
ooh.
The stage.
And Danny Kaye, who mm-hmm. plays Lydia, his wife, we tried to keep her more of a little bohemian kind yeah. of comfy
mm-hmm.
80s look.
Because, so. Yeah, you know, the more I think about it, the 80s were so much happened as mm-hmm. far as fashion. You had the Pat Benatar, the
yeah.
kind of like rock chick thing. You had Madonna with the sort of new wave, mm-hmm. her own style thing.
Yep.
You had the vibrancy of the leg warmers and the snap bracelets and the
bandanas
yeah. and the Punky Brewster kind of a thing.
Yep.
Apparently no socks.
No socks,
you
sorry.
You had
it's
the
true.
Don Johnson no Miami socks. Vice, you know.
Yep.
You had the, like the, what was the, what was the movie with Melanie, Working Girl?
Yeah.
You know, the sort of the big shoulders on the ladies' suit jackets
yep.
and the very formal.
Yeah. We try to stay away from shoulder pads.
Yeah.
But,
I love me a good pair of shoulder
pads.
Okay.
Mm.
And my shoulder,
I'm with you.
You know, I'm not very broad-shouldered, so I like
hey.
The, you know, it makes me seem like I'm a much bigger guy.
That's why I always wear the jackets.
Yeah.
I don't like my shoulder frame otherwise.
A little too sloping, you know?
Yeah.
But yeah, so you could have gone in any number.
We could have.
And the punk rock era, the early rise of hip hop. Wow.
Yeah.
The
and they were all walking down the street together.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Woo.
It's true, it was. And
man.
Then you had the jocks, you know,
and
the members only jackets and
yes.
all that. Remember that? Yeah.
London Fog.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
We don't have any of those guys.
That's a shame.
Yeah, I know.
But man. Now, the more I'm talking about, the more I miss the 80s.
yeah. Well, come see the show.
There you go. It's the Memory Box. It's at Phoenix Stage Company in scenic Oakville, Connecticut. I always call it scenic Oakville, Connecticut. I don't know why, but for some reason it just...
I feel like Ed says that, too.
Maybe. Ed Bassett, good friend
Oakville.
Of the show.
You have to say Oakville, Connecticut. That's the way Ed said it.
Ed is... Ed's just the best.
Yes,
yes.
He's an amazing guy. He's been the heart and soul of Phoenix for so long,
yeah.
and
he's
it's
so
such,
very talented.
He is. He's a great director. He's a great performer.
Mm-hmm.
He knows how to do business. He knows how to schmooze the people and bring
yeah.
them in. And I mean the popcorn over at Phoenix. It's some of the
yeah.
best popcorn you're gonna find.
Mm-hmm.
That's what got me out to do this
that's
production.
What it was.
Actually, I would say was the. Popcorn supply at rehearsals.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah. Yep.
Bottomless pop, gluten free,
yep.
Ethically sourced. but I'm talking this morning with director Deb Cryan and Chris Girton from the Memory Box. You can go to phoenixstagecompany.org to get your tickets, or you can call the box office, 860-417-2505. That's 860-417-2505. And we're coming up on 9:30. It's 9:20, almost 9:29. So what we're going to do is we're going to take a quick pause for a message, and then we will come back and we will talk about the buzz.
I'm Tiffany. I have some tips for you on how to quit smoking like I did. I threw out my ashtrays, lighters, and matches, and it worked. To help me with cravings, I put a picture of my mother in my car. She died of lung cancer when I was only 16. Now I have a 16-year-old daughter. That picture of my mother reminds me that I don't want to miss all the things my daughter is going to do in her life.
You can quit. For free help, call 1-800-QUIT-NOW. A message from the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention.
All right, let's talk about the buzz, shall we? First up, performances. Goshen Players have announced their production of All Is Calm, the a cappella musical about the Christmas Eve truce of 1914. That's running November 25th through December 10th. Check out goshenplayers.org for tickets and information. Landmark Community Theater is in the middle of their run of the Rocky Horror Show. That's playing now through October 28th, Fridays at 8, and I believe the Saturday shows are midnight shows in honor of the Rocky Horror tradition. Check out landmarkcommunitytheater.org for more on that. Phoenix Stage Company opened their production of The Memory Box last night. That's running now through October 22nd. You can visit phoenixstagecompany.org for more on that. TheatreWorks New Milford is closing out their production of Scotland Road today. Tonight's the final performance. There may be some tickets left. I don't know. Check out theaterworks.us for more on that. And the Warner Theater is closing out their run of the International Playwrights Festival, their 12th annual International Playwrights Festival. Tonight's the final night. Last night you had four shows. Tonight there are four different shows. So if you're interested, go to warnertheater.org. And that is the buzz for this morning here on Backstage. We're going to pause for another quick word, and then we will be back with more about the Memory Box.
At Social Security, we are always thinking of ways to save you time and make things easier. That's why we created My Social Security. A My Social Security account allows you to access your earnings history and benefits information, request a replacement Social Security card, get a proof of income letter, estimate and apply for benefits, and more. Save time. Go online. Open a My Social Security account at ssa.gov/myaccount. Social Security. Securing today and tomorrow. Produced at U.S. taxpayer expense.
Oh, that could be.
And we're back here on Backstage on WZBG. And we have so much fun on the air, but we have even more fun sometimes off the air. You know, I should try to do some, like, backstage off the air sort of secondary podcast and see if people are interested in what happens when the microphones are not on. Mm-hmm. But I'm joined this morning by director Deb Crime and actor Chris Girton from The Memory Box over at Phoenix Stage Company there in scenic Oakville, Connecticut. Now, this is a show about generations of a family, particularly the women in this family. Deb, are you drawn to those kinds of stories? Is that something that speaks to you on a personal level?
It does. Mm-hmm. I think I'm more drawn to colloquial. I can't even say that word.
Colloquial?
Yes, that's the word. Those kind of shows, mm-hmm. like regional things. Mm-hmm. I appreciate turns of phrases mm-hmm. from different areas and things, and we have a bunch of those. and of course Laura, mm-hmm. you know, have a soft spot for Laura because she's so amazing.
She really is.
Yeah, I like that real people kind of show. Mm-hmm. You know, so.
Well, I think that's right. I mean, because from what you've told us, you know, growing up in Boston. By the way, no trace of an accent anymore. Congratulations on that.
You have no idea. I think it's probably because I lived in Florida for a while.
Right.
And all I had ever heard the first probably 5-6 years I lived there was, oh, yeah, you're from Boston, aren't you? Or, oh, you're from New England. And, mm-hmm. you know, because that's
yeah,
how they
but I
are.
Feel like half the population of Florida is from New England.
Right.
New York. They all live in Miami.
True.
But, yeah, so, I got rid of it. And speaking with people from all over the country, because I worked for an agency down there, mm-hmm. Advertising agency. So you just try to take the you know, people's attention off of what you're saying. And just
could put the R's back in.
Yeah, exactly. So I did find them. I'm trying to use them all now.
You're doing quite well.
But when I talk to my mother, forget it.
Yeah, slip right back.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
But, I mean, Boston has its own turns of phrase mm-hmm. and its own way of doing, and obviously the signature accent. Mm-hmm. I went to college in Worcester, and my roommate was from Revere.
Oh yeah, Revere. Yeah.
Uh-huh. So I had a lot of that accent when I was in college. I miss it a lot of the time, actually, believe it or not. And then going down to Florida, you know, Florida's an interesting hodgepodge. It's Southern, but mm-hmm. it doesn't always feel Southern. Mm-hmm. And then here in Connecticut, we like to think we don't have the accent.
We don't. We have no accent
okay.
at all.
Yeah, let's say that. You have no accent.
Well, mm-hmm. oddly enough, believe it or not, according to all the lexicologists and whatnot, people from Connecticut, Connecticutters, if you
Connecticants.
Connecticutians?
Nutmeggers.
Okay.
Connecticants.
We speak the most closely to what Webster's Dictionary says it should be.
Oh.
Out of the entire...
I feel
entire,
like maybe because you're in the middle of the...
Maybe. But we also have our own unique turns of phrase yes. and whatnot. So I can see why that would be something that draws you. So the memory box, is it set in a particular, like, do you know where in the country it takes place or?
Well.
Virginia.
Okay.
I mean, Virginia Light and Power. Power and Electric?
Yeah, that is what it says.
Yeah. Okay.
It's not really...
Relevant.
The folk. Yeah, yeah. I definitely think it was
it's
meant
like
to
you
be.
You hear her street address, but mm-hmm. you never hear the rest of it.
Yeah. Sort of like a Simpsons kind
it
of a thing.
It is kind of a Simpsons thing mm-hmm. right there. Yeah, absolutely.
Okay. But that's, you know, that can really impact how a play goes because mm-hmm. you have to give attention to, well, if it's supposed to be here specifically.
Right.
So then.
And just rural countryside is
yes. Okay. There are no real accents, mm-hmm. but there are
expressions,
phrases, yeah, and expressions that may lead you to believe that it's in a certain place.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
I feel like we're treading into some spoiler territory here.
No.
That,
well,
know,
not really.
I don't want to.
But
don't want to overstep.
Yeah,
where
no,
we're
no.
supposed
yes.
to be. Interesting. All right. And then the home, are we coming into a family that's fairly well-to-do? Are they fairly middle of the road? Is this something that, you know, they're scraping by?
So it's farmland.
Okay.
And it's during World War II, at mm-hmm. least that part of it is.
Right, right. Yeah.
And Franny works for DuPont. During World War II, when they made explosives during World War II.
Yes, they did.
So she is one of the women who
they can
worked
do it.
While the men mm-hmm. were taking care of all of us.
Mm-hmm. I'd love looking at that period of history because it was such a complete shift for every company, every mm-hmm. person. You know, there were soldiers that were going off to war that were carrying rifles that had the Kodak stamp on it. You know, forget mm-hmm. making cameras. They were making guns
yeah.
for soldiers.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And I love looking into that. So as far as the World War II aspect of things, did you have your cast do any kind of background research and things to die? Because, I mean, unfortunately, that was now 80-something years ago.
Yeah.
The greatest generation, we're losing more and more of them faster and faster.
Yeah.
So now really you almost are. Have to do some research. You can't just go and talk to somebody anymore.
Well, I think Laura was really good about...
Yeah.
stage direction in her script,
mm-hmm.
And of course Tori, fact reviewing,
mm-hmm.
and I called my mother a lot because my mom's 97, and
good for her.
Yeah, and so she lived through World War II.
Yeah,
you know, with my dad who was away for World War II, and I asked her a lot of questions like, what happened when this happened? But you know,
mm-hmm.
and so I think, you know, we all kind of brought.
And,
a little something.
And it's interesting because we don't cover it, but when you're watching the 1940s and Franny is talking to her mother, Helen,
mm-hmm.
had already lived through
right.
World War I.
So you've got, yeah.
Yeah. I mean, we don't talk a lot about the war, more just in referencing how difficult it was.
Sure.
And, you know, and you don't want to live through that again.
Right.
You know, one of Helen's lines is, I've already lived through one war, like it was enough, you
mm-hmm.
know.
Mm-hmm.
And it created challenges for
yeah.
couples.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Which
yeah.
is...
Which is something
that at least
see.
Is a, yeah,
yeah,
is a theme in the show.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But they're doing a lot better money-wise, at least in the 80s. I mean, Mitch is a lawyer.
Yeah, Mitch is a lawyer.
There you go.
He's got it going on.
You know, I seem to be doing pretty good by the dialogue.
Yep.
Now, are you just an old-fashioned country lawyer?
Oh.
Well, yeah, no, he seems pretty...
slick.
Yeah.
He's a slick guy.
He's slick.
Well, I mean, you got the long hair, you got the
Don
Johnson
the
look.
For sure.
That's it. I literally just...
roll out of bed, throw on coat?
And I'm like, I guess I'm Mitch. I'm not sure how I feel about that.
Damn it, I'm not wearing socks.
Yeah, except for that.
Yeah.
I was like, look, I'm in character. I don't have socks on.
I bet you're wearing socks now.
I am wearing socks. Nice, big, comfy ones.
Right?
Yeah.
Something about socks.
They're great.
Yeah. I always joke that I'm going to get everybody in my family socks for Christmas and solve the whole, like, what do you get them problem. And
they were having a big discussion about Bombas last night.
Oh, yeah, the sock company.
Yeah, I've never even touched one.
You know?
Yeah. I don't know. They're supposed to be amazing. I don't know.
I'm more of the bulk package.
Yeah.
Yeah, right? Crew
nice,
socks?
Nice, thick yep. Big crew socks.
White. Mm-hmm.
No decisions to be made, just the number of the exact same pair. You grab the ones on top, and you go on with your life.
Exactly, and if they get, you know, ruined or whatever, fine. I got...
go get some more.
Got yep. 17 more pairs ready to go. I'm talking with director Deb Kryan and cast member Chris Girton from the production of The Memory Box, which is playing, not right now, but it opened last night over at Phoenix Stage Company in scenic Oakville, Connecticut. And we're having a grand old time talking about the show, and I'm having fun. I hope you're having fun.
Socks, don't forget.
I think now's a good time to pause for another musical break, and then we can come back, talk about weather, and talk more about The Memory Box. So this one, and this is one that my lovely and talented girlfriend Lynn thought of immediately when I was compiling music for this morning, from the show Ragtime. Again, songs about strong women and how women's roles can sometimes evolve over time and whatnot. This is the late, great Marin Mazey singing Back to Before.
There was a time our happiness seemed never ending. I was so sure that where we were heading was right. Life was a road so certain and straight and unbending. Our little road with never a crossroad in sight. Back in the days when we spoke in civilized voices, women in white and sturdy young men at the oar. Back in the days when I let you make all my choices. We can never go back to before. There was a time my feet were so solidly planted. You'd sail away while I turned my back to the sea. I was content, a princess asleep and enchanted. If I had dreams, then I let you dream them for me. Back in the days when everything seemed so much clearer, women in white who knew what their lives held in store. Where are they now, those women who stared from the mirror? We can never go back to before. There are people out there unafraid of revealing that they might have a feeling, or they might have been wrong. There are people out there unafraid to feel sorrow, unafraid of tomorrow, unafraid to be weak. unafraid to be strong. My moon and my stars and my ocean. We can never go back to before. We can never go back to.
That was the late, great Marin Mazey with Back to Before from Ragtime, the original Broadway cast recording here on Backstage on WZBG. And before we get back to talking about the Memory Box, it is 9:45. I timed that out almost perfectly. So it is time to talk about the weather, and I always make sure that my poor guests get stuck with that duty. So,
lucky me.
Yeah, there you go. Chris, take it away. What can we expect from the weather?
Today, a little sun this morning, otherwise mostly cloudy. Chance for light rain showers mid to late afternoon, high of the 50s. Tonight, lingering shower through the evening, then partial clearing after midnight, low 40s. Sunday is a blend of sun and clouds, brisk and cool, high of 55. Sunday night, partly cloudy, slight chance for a sprinkle in the low 40s. And Monday is partly to mostly cloudy, chance for an afternoon shower, high 50s.
There you go.
So we think there's going to be some rain, huh?
Yeah, boy, guy, just yeah. What we need, more rain.
It's currently about 50 degrees here at our WZBG studios in Litchfield. But the nice thing about rain is that it drives people indoors.
Yes.
And a great thing to do while you're indoors is to check out theater.
Yes.
You know? By the way, question for the both of you. Do you know why Snoop Dogg always carries an umbrella?
I do not.
For drizzle.
Nice.
Nice. Thank you very much. I'm here all week. Try the fish. But no, that was a little something from my friend Craig Clavette, who's a stage manager extraordinaire over at the Warner. He appreciates a good bad pun, and that was a really bad pun.
But, you'd really like that one, then.
You know? But it's true. You know, when the weather's not great in the fall, a great thing to do is to go in and check out theater, like the Memory Box,
yes.
Which is open now at the Phoenix Stage Company. Open last night to, I'm sure, fantabulous reviews.
Everyone seemed to love it.
They did.
There you go. And you don't want to miss it. And Phoenix is a very unique theatrical experience. It's the three-quarter round.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know that I've ever seen an auditorium space that's set up quite the same as
yeah.
Phoenix.
Yeah.
It's hard to explain. It's a little bit of stadium seating. Mm-hmm. It reminds you almost of an old movie house in some ways, because it did have the old projector
at one point.
Yeah. It was everything. It was a movie house. It was a bowling alley.
We still have the wood downstairs.
Yeah.
The floor downstairs is bowling alley wood.
I think there's still some of the old mechanics,
yes.
too. If you really go digging in the depths. And so, you know, yes, there's the classic theater setup that you're going to find at a Thomaston Opera House or a mm-hmm. Warner Theater, and those are wonderful. But sometimes it's those other spaces that give you a different experience that stick
yeah.
with you, like a Phoenix.
I feel like it's really intimate.
Yes.
Even though it'll seat 170 people or whatever,
mm-hmm.
it's still intimate. You still feel like you're sitting next to someone you know watching something.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
Everybody's very close to the stage.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And it's very
intimate. The acoustics
intimate.
Are great.
Oh, wonderful. And are they still doing the cabaret seating on the one side?
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Actually, on both sides
On
now.
Both sides now?
Yeah.
Oh.
So basically those people are on the stage,
yeah,
just not in the action, you know. Thank goodness, because you know
that gets a little dicey
sometimes.
Yeah, you know? The audience participation is good in a very structured kind of way.
So mm-hmm. are they ghosts? Or,
or are they memories?
Or are they memories?
This is a conversation we had many times during this rehearsal. Okay.
More times than some wanted to.
Are we ghosts?
Ghosts?
So we're memories?
Are we memories?
Yes. But then at the end, are you sure we're not ghosts? Like, yeah, we're sure you're not ghosts.
I mean, I guess eventually. Like,
yeah, but...
I mean, your spirit is still felt,
in 1983, but...
But at the time, you're not.
You know, all that deep stuff you get into while you're rehearsing.
Well, you know, I think audiences now are a little more hip to concepts like alternate timelines and mm-hmm. multiverses and so on and so forth. So I think
these are hard concepts that we obsess over in the rehearsal process so that you can come just watch
and enjoy
and not have to worry about that.
Yeah. Exactly. And isn't that true, though, that, you know, the whole process is so geared towards making sure audiences understand what's happening and that labor sometimes goes unrealized by the audience that...
Well, I felt really good last night because as a couple were leaving, mm-hmm. She said, oh, it just took me a second, but then I realized that, oh my God, these people are not sharing a time, you know, but one is reflecting back on the time. And we have some choice glances and intimations that kind of hit you hard.
Sure.
You're like... Oh, okay.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean,
I don't even know how many times I cried during rehearsal.
Oh. I was trying to explain it to my wife at home after. I was getting all choked up. But you know, my wife and our son Tegan, who's 11, came last night and he mm-hmm. had no problem. They had no problem following it at all.
Teegee, he's my buddy.
Now, Deb, in the past, you've been stage manager, backstage run crew, whatnot. Mm-hmm. As a director, where have you chosen to be while the show is going?
I'm in the booth.
Okay.
Yeah, I'm running lights.
Okay.
Yeah. No, I just can't drop the production end. I just can't.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's what I enjoy.
Sure.
It's what I enjoy.
But it's interesting because there are directors that I've worked with that they're in the booth and they want, you know, to be there for that, or there's directors that are in the back of the house mm-hmm. and they're watching. I've had directors that have been just backstage and
Well, and Ed knows me. Mm-hmm. Like, this is my 11th year with Phoenix.
Mm-hmm.
So he knows that I enjoy the production end. He's like, where do you want to be? I said, I want to be in the booth. He's mm-hmm. like, okay.
But that's why you have to get yourself a good and trusted stage manager, because you need someone to wrangle all the madness that is the backstage area.
And I'll tell you what.
We are mad.
Yeah. But I never realized how hard it would be for me to not want to stage manage while I was directing. And luckily enough, I had a great stage manager, Agnes, you know, who's also a great director in her own right.
She is.
So, you know, we'd have the conversation and I'm like, okay, I'm not going to tell them this, but this is what I want to tell them, but that's your part, so I'm going to tell you. Can you tell them? She's like, yeah, I got it. I'm like, okay, thanks. But, you know, it's that I'm supposed to tell them this. Oh, wait, no, I'm not.
Right.
Right? So.
And... In the community world, that's what happens. You know, you have all these different parts, these roles, these functions that you play or perform throughout the years, and sometimes there is that blending and that, you know, it might be hard to let go.
It is. It's, yeah. It's just that line is just so gray.
Mm-hmm. You know? If you're an actor and you jump up to directing, it's hard sometimes to put away the acting side of it and trust the performer to get where you want them to be without giving them line readings and things like that. Or you know, if you're a director that goes back into performing, you know, to not try to control, you know.
I had some feelings about not being an actor mm-hmm. and then directing actors. I'm like, what? Why would they listen to me? I mean, like, what? Right? But these guys are great. They trusted me.
But the key to directing is to have the vision. You know, you know what you want it to be.
Yep.
And
you trust them to do it.
Right. Yeah. Or you help them get there through whatever means necessary.
Yeah, we like where you got us.
Thanks. And you trust their instincts because they're really good.
Mm-hmm. Now, Chris, now that they've opened and mm-hmm. it would be hard to get rid of you, we can have the honest conversation. What's it like working with Deb, the director? You know, stern taskmaster or...
No, no, I think...
The dagger she's shooting
right you know, now. I've worked with Deb before, so I wasn't going to take my life into my hands and start back-talking her. But no, it was, you know, it's a very small cast, as you said, the seven of us. Mm-hmm. So it's not like trying to wrangle a 20, 30 person. Right. We're all, I mean, I guess they're not all as old as me, but... There's, you know, it's a small crew. Everybody gets along really well. Mm-hmm. Everybody, for the most part, you know, we're all kind of got the same vibe. The script is so good.
It really is.
The dialogue is so natural and just phenomenal that, you know, there wasn't, I think, a lot of, no, I don't like the way you're doing this. Do this instead. More like a, hey, the way you did that, do that again.
Yeah. Yeah.
So
I like that.
It just was very naturally agreeable.
Mm-hmm. And the read-through, the first read-through, you know, sometimes you think,
Mm-hmm.
But what I found myself thinking was, wow, they kind of like settled in immediately.
Yeah.
You know, they played off of one another immediately.
Mm-hmm.
And that had nothing to do with me other than I cast them, you
right.
know? So
it's a big part.
So, you know, kudos because... Yeah,
we wouldn't be there doing it if
it
you
is
hadn't.
Important. Yeah, I know, it's important. But, yeah.
Casting can be everything. You
yeah.
know? You need to bring in new life and mm-hmm. new blood and take those chances on people. But there's also that in the back of your mind, like, am I really seeing what I think I'm seeing, and will I be able to get it?
Yeah.
It's an interesting mix of people, but most of them I've seen in other things.
In
you know, I've
yeah.
seen somewhere. So even though you have three people like Chris here making their Phoenix debuts,
mm-hmm.
they've got experience in their back pocket.
Yes.
They're fairly steady hands.
Yes.
And, you know, Michael Calabrese, who's a director and a performer
and a very good performer.
Yeah,
you know, he's great.
He's
Teresa Alexander's done a lot at
yes,
Phoenix.
Yes, she's amazing. They're
Chris,
all
Chris
yeah.
and Helen have done a lot of Phoenix.
Yeah,
so
they're all amazing.
It's a great mix. It's the Memory Box, which is now playing at Phoenix Stage Company in scenic Oakville, Connecticut, running now through the 22nd, so the end of next weekend.
Mm-hmm.
You can get tickets by going to phoenixstagecompany.org or call the box office, 860-417-2505. That's 860-417-2505. And I'm told that there is a special thing we get to share with the audience here.
There is.
That, you know, you're only going to hear it here, folks. So,
right.
This is something. It's a discount code?
It is.
Okay. So a discount code. If you're interested in getting tickets, you can use this code to get a discount on your tickets. The code happens to be?
Eric.
What?
Your name.
Yes.
Eric.
We picked that one up just for you, buddy.
I'm the code.
You're
so
the code.
E-R-I-C, not K, E-R-I-C. That's the code to get a discount if you buy tickets for the Memory Box over at Phoenix Stage Company. So.
Yeah.
You heard it here first, and you're not going to hear it anywhere else, as far
nope.
as I know. So,
nope. And next weekend's going to be really fun. We have the playwright in. We're going to do talkbacks after
yes.
every performance next week.
There you go. And that's always fascinating to be able to have the creator there and to get into the process behind that. And
yep.
If you've ever been interested in what goes on behind the scenes, how it goes from page to stage, the talkbacks are...
Here's your chance.
This is an opportunity you might
yeah.
not get elsewhere. So,
yeah.
Plus the free popcorn.
Yeah. yeah.
Bottomless
popcorn.
And we have candy, too.
And there's a whole concession
yeah,
area.
Is.
And
yeah.
I believe they have some adult beverages, too, from time
they
to time.
They do. Black Hog Brewing is one of our sponsors.
Mm-hmm.
And they provide some very nice options.
Yes.
Speaking of adult beverages, is this a show that anyone can go to? Is it okay to bring kids? Is it a little heavy maybe for the little ones?
A little bit of language. A little bit
yeah,
of language
there's a little
the
bit
little
of
ones.
Language.
Okay.
I mean, Tegan was there, but Tegan's an old soul.
Yes.
And he's
my
a theater
son.
Kid.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, I would say, you know, maybe no younger than like 12.
What do you say? Like, yeah, like PG-13. Like a movie.
Yeah, it's PG-13.
Call it PG-13. So yeah. It's the Memory Box. It's playing now at Phoenix Stage Company, now through the 22nd. Check it out. PhoenixStageCompany.org, 860-417-2505. And that's about all of our time. So Deb and Chris, thank you so much for coming in to talk about
Thank you for having us. I wish you continued
success with the run.
Thanks.
And I hope everyone gets a chance to go see it.
Yeah, please come see us.
In the meantime, we're going to leave you with a little bit of something from a show called Baby. Again, story about strong women and relationships between parents and children. This is The Story Goes On. Have a great week, everybody.
The tale my mother told me, that tale that was much too dull to hold me, and this is the surge.
You're listening to FM 97.3 WZBG, Litchfield, Torrington.